jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It means I've got a couple of friends here in studio, and we're going to be talking about the various things that have happened this week. And always getting different perspectives, which is what I like. Craig Heinzman, who is the community outreach. I always butcher your title. Community outreach pastor for Marcus Point Baptist Church is what I think of, but I know that's wrong.
That's right.
Oh, that's it?
It's fine. What a community.
And Dave Merzen, whose title is former state representative and also local active.
Can we call him the Dave Merzen? That's his title.
Oh, I like that. He's like the Ohio State, the Dave Merzen.
I'd rather be has been. Yep.
I'd rather be has been. Very good. Where do y'all want to start? You know, I just think this is a fascinating story, and we haven't talked about it all day. Baton Rouge. I know this is probably not what people are expecting, but here goes.
Oh, Baton Rouge. Anyway, sorry.
Baton Rouge, 5 years ago, I think, is in 2019, if I remember the story right, this wealthy white community in Baton Rouge voted, like 55 to 45, to decouple from Baton Rouge to form their own city, to secede, as some are calling it, to de-annex, whatever you want to think of it. They voted to form their own city in order to take their money, their property taxes, their kids, and their law enforcement into their own hands and separate from the not great
management. So like Gulf Breeze.
Well, but they're already separate. Right. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Exactly. I'm just kidding,
like,
Gulf Breeze.
I was like, if Gulf Breeze were in Escambia County and then they voted to leave or something like that. Yeah. And now that just got approved yesterday, the Louisiana Supreme Court said, okay, you're allowed. It's obviously a fascinating indictment of the leadership of Baton Rouge. I don't know anything about Baton Rouge, okay, other than I'm sure it's not great. But, you know, if the wealthy white property owners and taxpayers, the argument against it was you're going to destroy the school funding.
Right, obviously.
Which, obviously. And you're also going to create a kind of enhanced segregation, right? Because the white kids are not going to be going to school with the white kids instead of having a mix with all the black kids and the poor kids. And, I mean, you know, but
charter schools would have been easier.
Sure.
Well, I wonder. I mean, there's a different kind of rich in Baton Rouge, apparently, because I have a friend who does a lot of business over there, and he does business at parties.
Okay.
And those are parties that you and I have never even dreamed of going to. Like, we're going to put a glass floor over the pool so that, you know, we can dance on top of it for my daughter's 16th birthday.
I gotcha.
Like, I'm lucky if I rent my daughter a Chuck E. Cheese at 16. Like, it's just not happening. So there's a different level.
A clear plastic inner tube inflatable is my alternative to that. Right?
I don't see that.
At my above ground pool.
Not to say that's right, but I'm just saying it's a different level in Baton Rouge, apparently.
Got to be oil money.
Is that what it is?
Or chicken money, or raising canes, But
raising canes.
I would say any time that you just say
I'm
protectionist,
yep.
It's basically like creating their own compound, you know.
Right. I mean, you got to figure that the hedge barrier is coming soon. I mean,
right.
You would figure
that's likely
in the offing. But yeah. I don't know that, you know.
The gate on the interstate.
There's a part of me that gets it. You know, they want to have better for theirs, which is a very natural human impulse. It's behind everything we do for our kids and wanting to leave our kids an inheritance and raise our kids the way we want to raise them. But at the same time, I mean, it does look awful petty and racist. I mean, you know, right? That's sort of what it seems like.
It's lost just $48 million in tax revenue.
Amazing.
Yep.
But at the same time, okay, maybe you could certainly criticize the motives, but don't we all have political self-determination? Don't we founded our country on withdrawing from, with a lot of reasons and justifications and a long train of protests. But it seems to me like, you know, Perdido wants to incorporate maybe, Navarre wants to incorporate maybe,
right.
And because they think that the county's not doing them right.
That's the question, is it's not so much just what am I getting for my money, but it's what are you doing in leadership? And we can all say there's a point in time where we go, leadership is not representing my interests and the interest of my community. And I think that goes across the board.
Yep.
So it might be something like that. It does, no matter what it is in fact, the picture is not great.
Right.
You can't get away from that picture. But if you dig down deeper, there may be some issues. But I have no, this is the first I'm hearing of it. And all I can think of is, oh, Baton Rouge. That's all I mean. Operator, what you put me on through? That's all I can think.
Spoken like a true musician.
I love it.
I've never known Baton Rouge for anything other than that. So,
and now that's all I can have in my head, too. So, good.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm generally in favor of self-determination politically. And, you know, if there were no frustrated people who have the ability to secede, you wouldn't have cities at all. I mean, you know, I mean, there's all these things to be said, but... It's icky.
Icky.
That's my new word for it. I can't quite put my finger on why it's wrong, but it certainly doesn't feel great.
That's right.
Right.
You know, so before we come back to other questions, let's go to a quick traffic break from Jimmy.
Andrew, not too much to report on the roadways this morning. That accident on Pine Forest Road and Sharon Lane has been cleared, so you are good to go on Pine Forest Road. And other than that, just typical morning traffic building up on Burgess Road outside of West Florida High School and building up downtown, especially on Palafox and Garden. If you see anything else on our roadways, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much. Back to Dave Merzen and Craig Heinzman for the wrap. The Bay Center. They put the 5 cent in for a tourism development tax a couple of years ago. Jeff Bergosh taking a victory lap, claimed over that, you know, persuaded the, you know, the county commission to do it against the will of the hoteliers who thought it would hurt tourism. Now we've got $10 million that we can put towards this Band-Aid solution to keep the Bay Center from not imploding upon itself, maintain the Sun Belt Conference, maybe maintain the Ice Flyers.
It's a maybe.
Right? We're looking at 130, you know,
to really
million
do it right.
To really do it right versus Mobile is putting 300 in, although the folks at the Bay Center said if we wanted to do something comparable, it would be $500 million because of the increasing price. I have never had a strong opinion about what to do with the Bay Center other than can we go back in time and not make this happen? that's kind of been my view, but I don't really know the right going forward answer, so I'm kind of hesitant to be too critical. I think it's easy to be critical, but I don't know the right answer.
I think Commissioner Lumen May had it accurate. He described it as putting lipstick on a pig. $10 million is a lot of lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
I don't know how you fix it with just that small amount of money.
Yeah, $10 million is just not a lot when you're talking about that size of a space and what you've got to, the things that have to get done.
Well, they were saying, I know one of the things that Commissioner Bergosh said is, yes, this is not enough money to really do the renovations we need to do on an ongoing basis, you know. But maybe if the 5 cent continues to be as it has, it can allow us to bond enough to really put the revenue into it to make it what it should be for the next 30 or 50 years. And I kind of get that argument. And I kind of get the, well, how much dynamite do we have on hand? I mean, I see both in a sense. And again, that's why I say I'm kind of cautious about being too strong about
it. We need to drag out those plans from a few years ago. Remember, they were going to close the little circle thing and extend it over and, you know, do all that sort of thing.
The Grand Hotel,
what to do with the Grand Hotel.
I mean, there's so much that's down there that could be amazing for our community. And I will say, Michael Capps and his team, we work with them every year for Sportsman's Night Out. It's on August 8th. But
August 8th, if you didn't hear, he said it fast.
But they do a great job with what they have, but it's so limiting. I mean, if you talk with Julio, I know you just had him on, and everything that happens down there for Pensacon, it is, I don't know if you've been, it's so wall to wall.
Right.
And that's there's so much we could do in this community, and it's grown in so many different ways. If we really made the investment, I think we could have something that truly works for our community in multiple ways.
And I got to agree.
Renovate the existing or build anew.
I'm for tearing it down and building a new.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need something new. Yeah. Look at the competition
on that footprint or somewhere else.
If you're going to do concerts, you're going to have event spaces, all these conventions that want to come in. You know, we have to have a competitive space, and that requires looking at something. I don't know that footprint is going to accommodate a bigger, better venue right there because you have space limitations with the interstate going up, interstate coming down, and everything else.
I liked your idea of Pine Forest and Nama Road, the one that you were – no, it was Beulah at the Beulah Park.
Oh, I don't know, LFA.
LFA, I like that. No, I was joking. I don't like that idea at all. But the 29, that large portion – 29 is a great central location.
At the Midtown Commerce Park where they used to have the Superfund site. I mean, that seems like if you talk about rent – you know, reinvigorating that area because it's a start from scratch, right? There's nothing there that anybody wants to go to.
Correct.
But if you put it in that location, then you start to really draw economic development north. You start to open up the possibility for, you know, economic development in that vicinity, all around the jail and the Pace area. Mm-hmm. I mean, sort of all of that becomes a possibility. And, of course, as we know, nothing has happened there in all the years that we've been talking about it.
What happened with the stadium downtown now happens in Midtown. But what people have to think about is when you're talking about a new facility.
In case people don't know, I'm sorry, the Midtown Commerce site is the old Superfund site on the east side of 29.
On Old Palafox.
Yeah, thank you.
On Old Palafox. Yep.
The wood treating facility, right? Yep. The Escambia wood treating facility.
Escambia wood treating.
And if you think about the Bay Center right now, you think it's that, you know, the oval. That's it. And it doesn't have a lot of function outside of the oval. Mm-hmm. There are some side rooms, but they're not necessarily massive. If you build it new, you can create spaces where you can have multiple different venues for all these events that don't really have places to go. There's an event problem in Pensacola where you just don't have enough spots to, especially if you're going to seat more than 300, it's almost impossible to find a place around here. So you could create those and then create revenue out of those.
You could have a combination area, it seems like,
correct,
where you could have sports tourism because you have the facilities, kind of like what the Port is doing, but in a much more, in a bigger, more, less defined pickleball, you know, targeted kind of way. And you could have, you know, convention tourism, a combination of the two in some sense, that you could have a sort of a variety of spaces available. I mean, I'm open to that. You know, they're talking now about building more up at Ashton-Brosnahan Park. That's what came up in the commission meeting yesterday, is, you know, something more vigorous up there to handle sports tourism connected with the soccer. I get that. That seems a little limiting to me, and you're certainly not going to build a convention center in Ashton-Brosnahan Park.
No,
I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
Location is terrible for something like that. So again, something that's on a main road right off the expressway, you know, right off of I-110 would seem to make more sense. So I'm open, but the cost is going to be big. But we are a growing city. We, you know, we talk about airport problems because we're growing. We talk about, you know, housing problems because we're growing.
Parking.
You know, parking and driving. I mean, all these problems because we're growing. At some point, we're a city that's big enough to justify something like that. And maybe that's the kind of thing that helps us become that kind of a city too, right?
How much space is left at W Street and Highway 29 and the old soccer complex?
That's all sucked up now, right?
Not all of it.
Most of it with that trucking facility.
There's still some space there.
Available.
Okay.
Yeah, 30 acres, something maybe smaller. But
I mean, I would have said that location until it wasn't. So there's enough there, you think?
That would change the dynamic of
that whole
sludge
area
that is Highway 29.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? That was going to, you know, when that soccer complex was there, there was a lot of economic activity. That's why
there
well, that's why the
that's
restaurants
why the
and hotels, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Sam's Fun City is all built around that.
It was built towards that area, and then all of a sudden it just.
Yep. So put something out there, still plenty of parking, plenty of, you know, easy on, easy
off. Very close to the interstate.
Yep.
And it could transform that entire area, much like the treatments fun site would transform.
Well, yeah. I'm open to all of these things. You know, I want to have a number. I want to get my head around an idea. I do get frustrated. I have, you know, I joke around about the syndromes at the Gen X and Gen Z and or the Gen, not Gen X, but the, you know, the study and do nothing syndrome, which I don't so much hate spending money on a study to find out something's not doable. That's a savings.
Right, yes.
What I hate is doing the studies that then look good and we don't do anything.
Absolutely.
Like, why did you do the study if you weren't willing to do the thing? You know, that's that we just waste a lot of money on studies.
No doubt.
So,
that's right.
One of the other topics that's obviously come up in the last couple of days, you know, Commissioner Bergosh has been favoring concurrency or impact fees or mobility fees. We've been talking about that a lot this morning. I have made the challenge to him to, you know, put something up for a vote at the county commission before the primary when it will matter. And let's see what we get. Stephen Barry and Lumen May sounding mildly amenable yesterday with some caveats. And, you know, I think there's a lot of backstory to the politics of this. It is an election year, and I think they're feeling the heat this year and feeling a lot of criticism for not doing enough over the last 10 years. But will anything get done? I don't know. But what should we do? I think we got to do something because we can't just keep doing this. This is not smart. Something to facilitate an improvement in traffic infrastructure and stormwater management and maybe schools, although I know that's a different beast because of the way the problems get defined. But do we need to? Do you think they will? Dave?
I think we need to.
Okay.
I think Santa Rosa's probably got a pretty good model of discussion going on right now.
They're putting, if it passes, you'll have a 0.5% sales tax plus an impact fee will go into effect in November if it passes.
And I think the builders are kind of accepting the, you know, it used to be affordable housing, you know, it's going to jack up the price, you know, $1,500, $2,000. That's going to make it unaffordable for Craig to buy a house. Well, right now, Craig can't afford to buy a house anyhow. So adding $2,000
right.
to his $250,000, $300,000 house.
Correct.
Doesn't put him that far out of
It's
reality.
Not like keeping impact fees off the table has kept the prices down.
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the thing is, we can't continue to build as we're building and not create the infrastructure around it, because then you just create nightmares for everybody that is living and has been living there. And the yes, cost of living is, but the quality of life is not great. So you can, I got a cheaper place, you know, to live by $2,000, but I can't ever get out of my driveway because it's always, you know, slammed. That's not good. So who wants to buy that house to begin with? So now your property value drops tremendously. You got to be able to think ahead. And I think that's one of the things sometimes we don't like to do is say, yes, just like with the Bay Center, there's going to be an upfront cost that we're going to have to incur, but what we're going to get on the backside of it is going to be so much better. And I think the same thing is true with this. We're going to have to say, yeah, add a little bit to that. If you're going to build a multi-huge complex, you're going to need to make sure that the infrastructure that surrounds it is effective.
Yep.
And that's going to be a part of what you pay for.
It's bad enough when developers, and I'm not against developers. I live in a house that was built by a developer.
Me too.
You know, I mean, people need homes. But when developers come in, I think of Monarch Place there off of Hancock, where all the people in the flooding, and they just plopped a giant subdivision down in behind these rural streets. And it might be their right to do it under current land development code, but should that be a right? And you know, I don't know which is worse. You don't improve the roads around you, and therefore everybody's life sucks, or you make them pay to improve the roads around you. You still get the subdivision and the traffic and a change of your way of life. We saw this big meeting in Santa Rosa County over the Pea Ridge Connector Phase 2 and Phase 3, where the people who live on Baker Road are like, oh, hell no, over my dead body. Are we selling any of this property? You're not going to eminent domain me out of it, which is understandable. But you can't also complain about traffic.
Right. Exactly right. Yeah. And it's not even, it wasn't even a real plan. It was just like a picture that, you know, popped up and like, something we could possibly one day do. And like now all of a sudden we got to have meetings about this thing that we could possibly one day do that we're not
traffic
even talking about doing.
Traffic is terrible. Thou shalt not fix it. You know, like you can't hold, you know, both sides of this. speaking of that, let's get Jimmy in here with a traffic report for us. Jimmy?
If you are traveling westbound on Lillian Highway at North 48th Avenue, there's a partial roadblock due to a vehicle crash. Otherwise, we're looking pretty good on our roadways this morning. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you might experience a little bit of backup on Highway 98, but clear once you get to the 3 Mile Bridge. And Pace and Milton, coming in from Highway 90, you are good to go all the way into town. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Frontier Motors. Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. All right, we got 2 minutes to solve the campus protests.
Turn the sprinklers on.
I love that idea.
I love the
Frankly,
guy in Florida State to
it's
toss the chair.
Low impact solution, right?
You're right. I don't know that there is much of a solution to these guys. Because it doesn't seem, I believe that there's a fundamental right for folks to peacefully protest.
Of
if you want
there
to get out there and protest, absolutely do it. I was at
UWF. Heard of the Constitution? It seems to be in there.
It seems to be in there. I was at UWF and they had a pro-Palestinian protest on the in the quad, and I was standing there next to one of their the Jewish group's presidents, and he was just like, these guys don't even, they're not even thinking. And we were having great conversation and they weren't destroying anything and it was fine.
Yeah.
But once you start raiding buildings and making demands, and the one I love the most right now is we don't want any punishment for what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Our demand is, you know, was it not anonymity? What was it? Anyway. They just don't want it. They have no punishment, no school punishment.
Right.
We just broke this building down, but don't arrest us and don't kick us out of school.
Don't suspend us. Don't expel us.
Right. Don't make us have bad grades.
That's
and like,
exactly right.
How can we have a generation that believes that's okay? That's an actual demand you can make.
No consequences.
It does feel weirdly like we've all failed a lot, that we're in a position where people who really seem to know so little and seem to be so obsessed with what they think are their rights and so little recognition of context, history, nuance. You know, I didn't live through the Vietnam protest era. I mean, I was like, you know, a child. Right. So I don't have any perspective on that. But my it seems maybe young people have always been dumb. I don't know. But they seem to be extra dumb today, and it's showing on these campuses. You know, I thought the Chaz in Seattle was bad, but now we've got like 80 Chazes all over the country on these universities. It's weird. All right, well, we didn't have enough time to do that anyway, but I wanted to get your thoughts. Craig, thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you so much, Dave Merzen. I appreciate you guys.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.